Let's open our Bibles to John's Gospel. It's chapter 18, and it can be found on page 1090 on the church Bibles. It's John chapter 18, and the reading is from verse 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but do you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover? So do you want me to release you to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Maynard, thank you very much for reading for us. Please do make sure you got sight of John chapter 18. We're going to zoom in on verse 37. But before we look at that, let me lead us in prayer once more. Some words from Psalm 19. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Father God, we thank and praise you so much for your word. Please help us to listen, that we might know you, know ourselves, that we might know truth and know life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the results are in. And the best Christmas advert has already been announced. Any ideas which one? Maybe you've seen some of them. Apparently, critics are saying that Waitrose has won the crown. If you haven't seen it yet, it's actually a two-part ad campaign all around the premise of a whodunit. Who stole the dessert? I won't give away the ending. But it chimes with the current fascination around crime dramas and murder mysteries. Viewing figures suggest we can't get enough of them at the moment. We all like to play the detective. We like to try and work out the truth. Whether it's Ludwig or the Knives Out films or Death in Paradise, we're all fascinated with figuring it out. We want to know the truth. But at the same time, we're constantly being told that truth is relative. "I'm just living out my truth," people say. So which is it? Well, into the confusion, Christmas speaks with complete clarity. We might think Christmas is the supreme example of relativity. How you celebrate is entirely up to you. One family has turkey, another has beef, another has nut roast. One person puts up stockings by the fireplace, another person doesn't bother doing presents at all. Isn't it all just subjective? But I'm not talking about how we celebrate Christmas, but the facts behind Christmas. And so for a few minutes now, I want to help us peel back the layers and think why we bother at all celebrating about the birth of a baby boy 2,000 years ago. And we're going to answer the question not by going to one of the more usual nativity readings, but to John's Gospel. And I hope by the end of our time we're persuaded it really is one of the most appropriate verses to consider at Christmas. We often read John chapter 1 at Christmas, and that's right and fitting. But the only time Jesus' birth is explicitly mentioned in this whole book of John's Gospel comes as he heads to his death here in chapter 18. And this is what we read in verse 37. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" As we press rewind and zoom in on these words of Jesus, we see one huge claim and one huge challenge. One massive claim, one massive challenge. So as we enjoy Christmas, will we also be unsettled or reassured by the truth of Christmas? Because the huge claim before us here is Jesus came into the world to bear witness to the truth. You'll see it on the outline. Jesus came into the world to bear witness to the truth. Jesus is the one who testifies to the truth. You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. I'm sure we've probably all got our favourite Christmas tune. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, perhaps. What exactly does Christmas look like? Or one we seem to hear a lot on the radio, "That's what Christmas means to me." Candles burning low, lots of mistletoe, lots of snow and ice everywhere we go. Choir singing carols right outside my door. All these things and more. "That's what Christmas means to me, my love." But can Christmas mean just what we want it to mean? Well, surely Jesus is the person to tell us what his birth is all about, what Christmas truly means. And he tells us Christmas is about a king coming into his world to testify to the truth. You see, Jesus is on trial here. The morning of the day he'll die. Pilate wants to work out if Jesus really is any threat to Roman rule. And Jesus affirms he is a king, in fact, the king. But before Pilate runs off to the wrong conclusion, Jesus wants him to know what kind of king. Jesus is the true king who bears witness to the truth. And notice, not just truth, but the truth. Which means there is such a thing as the truth. We live in a pluralist world that says there's no such thing as absolute truth. Any claim to absolute truth is viewed as arrogant, fundamentalist, narrow-minded, or intolerant. Our children, I guess like lots of children, are desperate for it to snow. We all love it, don't we? Thick, powdery, crunchy snow. But what I hate is, you know, when it begins to melt, or when it's not quite cold enough for it to settle, when it's all kind of patchy, some slush, some ice, some puddles and mud beginning to show. And we've begun to think of truth in a similar way, as if there are varying shades of truth, degrees of truth. But Jesus says his words, his whole life, his revelation is like pure, brilliant, unblemished, sparkling white snow. He came into the world, he broke into our world that first Christmas so we can know the truth. Truth we couldn't work out on our own. Truth from God about who he is. Truth about what we're like. Truth of our need of a rescue. And it is a very good thing. Here is a truth outside of my own mind. A truth that I can't create but discover A truth I don't control, but submit to. Just as an aside, is it not staggering? Jesus just assumes he existed before he was born. He talks about entering the world like an actor walks onto a stage. Now, you and I, or anyone else for that matter, we didn't exist before our conception, did we? And when I first asked Claire out, I had hopes for marriage. I thought children might possibly come along one day. But there was no reality of Caleb, Zach, and Nate at that stage. Even on our wedding day, children were still theoretical. Not so with Jesus. He existed before his birth as the second person of the Godhead, as he says in chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. So the theological word to describe this mystery is not creation, but incarnation. The person, not the body, but the essential personhood of Jesus existed before he was born as a man, before he took on flesh. His birth was not a coming into being of a new person, but a coming into the world of an infinitely, eternally old person. And so when Jesus steps into the world he made, he announces he's come to bear witness to the truth. And so as he does so, we ought to sit up and listen. And it means the truth he bears witness to isn't something malleable, something subjective. Perhaps we saw in the news just a few days ago, there was footage of someone going the wrong way down a slip road onto a dual carriageway. I think it was up in Cambridgeshire. Now, in this instance, it was just a simple mistake, a dangerous one, but a simple mistake. But just imagine the driver is apprehended by the authorities. Later, however, he's released after telling traffic officers that he's just living out his truth. He shouts, I'm just doing me. Who are you to judge the path I've chosen? And his arguments resonate with the officers, who confer with one another and then agree to let him carry on driving the wrong way down the slip road. We had to let him go. He's living out his own truth, and if that includes speeding into the traffic of oncoming cars, well, who are any of us to condemn him? It would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? We know there's such a thing as truth. There has to be. And as someone pointed out, no one has any trouble believing in moral absolutes when they're punched in the nose. At that point, we all believe the aggressor is absolutely guilty. When we or someone we love are hurt, then of course the truth matters. And we want to know the truth. All the allegations, all the scandals appearing every day show us we want to know the truth. And Christmas rings with the news. Jesus is the King who came to save, and he makes this salvation known by testifying to the truth. Now, Jesus reveals the truth about himself. Chapter 16, verse 28, I came from the Father and have come into the world. Chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, God from God, light from light. He's come from the Father, full of grace and truth. He also reveals the truth about humanity. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Chapter 3, verse 19. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. But he also reveals the truth about how to be rescued. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Chapter 5, verse 24. I am the way and the truth and the life. Chapter 14, verse 6. The fact that Jesus has come to bear witness to the truth means the guessing games are over. Tiny Tim is found by his mother drawing very carefully on a piece of paper. What are you doing? She asks. I'm drawing a picture of God, Mummy. But Tim, nobody knows what God looks like. They will when I'm finished. That actually is the level of Jesus' claim. And that is a good thing. It is a huge comfort that Jesus testifies to the truth. Here's why we celebrate Christmas, why Christmas is such good news. It means we can know the truth. We can be confident in the truth. We can know there is a God. We can know what he's like. We can know forgiveness and salvation. It's like the opposite of those polar bears you see on the natural history programs with David Attenborough softly narrating. You know, they're always on moving ice floes, never sure of solid ground. Now, we can have rock-solid confidence in the truth Jesus testifies to. Now, the question is, will we listen to him? And this brings us on to the huge challenge. Jesus has come into the world to bear witness to the truth, and that means there are consequences. We can't just leave it in the realm of something that is nice to know. It impacts us. And the crucial implication Jesus underlines here is it means everyone who is of the truth listens to his voice. That's our second headline. Everyone who is of the truth listens to his voice. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to his word. It's ironic, isn't it, that fake news is still in the news. It just doesn't seem to go away. Can we believe what we read? Can we now even believe what we see? Coca-Cola released their Christmas advert, and they were trashed in the press for using AI for all of their advert. What you see is not what you get when it comes to Coca-Cola, apparently. Then there's a group in the States called American Atheists. They've never been afraid of nailing their colours to the mast. Each year they take out a huge Christmas, or rather anti-Christmas ad in Times Square. One year it was Santa next to Jesus with the words, "Keep the merry, dump the myth." Another year they went with, "Who needs Christ during Christmas?" Nobody. And so we're left with a choice, or really a test. Will we listen to Jesus, or just dismiss him and what he says? We see the two responses in our reading. Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" Jesus and Pilate can't both be right. And we all listen to someone, either Jesus or someone else. And postmodern Pilate, he captures the spirit of the age, doesn't he? Francis Bacon, in his essay on truth, quotes, "What is truth?" said jesting Pilate, and would not stay for an answer. You see, when Pilate asks, "What is truth?" he's either convinced there is no answer, or he knows there is one, but he doesn't want to have to deal with the consequences. He just doesn't want to have to hear it. Again, isn't it so similar to so many in our world today? Perhaps we even see a bit of Pilate in ourselves. We're used to thinking there's no such thing as truth, or any claim to absolute truth. Well, that's just a power grab. Or we've got an inkling there might be more to Jesus than just a good teacher or a figurine merely to wheel out at Christmas. But we don't want to go down that rabbit hole for fear of the implications. I don't want to be religious. I'm happy with my life the way it is, we think. Since Christmas is a time of sharing, let me remind you that I like country music. If you didn't know that, I can tell you that and share that with you. And there's one song by Patti Loveless with these very perceptive, somewhat haunting lyrics. "The trouble with the truth is it's just what I need to hear, ringing so right deep down inside my ear. And it's everything I want and it's everything I fear. Oh, the trouble with the truth is it's just what I need to hear." Pilate was troubled by the truth. We want the truth, but we have no hope of figuring it out on our own. We want the truth, but it's unsettling. Jesus makes claims about himself, about us, that just can't be ignored. So either there's this response of postmodern Pilate, ultimately dismissing Jesus, or we'll eagerly listen to Jesus, we'll believe in him, trust him. You see, how can we recognize those on the side of truth? They listen to Jesus. Will we listen to him? Recently I heard about a craze for upside down Christmas trees. I don't know if anyone has ever tried that in their living room. Maybe you can see them on Pinterest or something. Well, Jesus turns everything on its head. He turns everything upside down. That the truth has implications. And for Jesus, telling the truth meant going to the cross. He's speaking these words on the very day he dies. Listening to Jesus means believing him, trusting that his death on the cross paid the punishment we deserve for rejecting God. It means taking Jesus' words at face value, that he is the resurrection and the life. And so the only way to get through the grave and have any confidence and hope in the face of death is through Jesus. Listening to Jesus really is the very best thing we can do. It is the best investment that we can ever make, an infinitely better investment, even than Bitcoin. C.S. Lewis of Narnia fame puts it well. If false, Christianity is of no importance. And if true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing it can't be is moderately important. There can be no sympathetic middle ground, a kind of warm indifference to Jesus' words. And what Jesus says means whoever we're listening to, we're not listening to the right people if we're not listening to him. And if we're tempted to think we just need to dump the myth in the words of the American atheists, just listen to how John the author sums up his writing near the end of his book. And now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What we're reading here is emphatically not fake news. I sincerely hope we all have a truly happy and joyous Christmas. But amidst all the hustle and bustle and all the fun and the food, I hope we don't crowd out the voice of Jesus. He is the King. His kingdom is established. He alone testifies to the truth about God, about how we can only be right with him through Jesus' death on the cross in our place. And so this Christmas, let us listen to him. Perhaps you want to find out more what it looks like to listen to Jesus. You hear that and you're not quite sure at where to start, what it looks like to take him at his word and trust him. If that's you, do come and chat to me about how you might start reading the Bible for yourself or reading the Bible with a Christian friend. Do consider signing up, as Andrew mentioned, to that Hope Explored course in January to investigate the truth for yourself. But for each one of us, let us pray we would be those who listen to Jesus the King, who has come to bear witness to the truth. Let's pray. Jesus says, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Father God, we thank and praise you so much that you have made yourself known in your Son. Thank you that he came into this world, into his world, to bear witness to the truth. Please help us to listen to him about what he reveals of himself, about humanity, and about how to be rescued from your just judgment. We ask that this Christmas might be one in which we come to see who Jesus is more clearly, see our need of him more and more, that we might delight in him and praise him for all eternity. In his name and for your glory we ask it. Amen.